The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Welcome, everybody. It's a beautiful day outside in the Washington metropolitan area, and we indeed are live. And trust me, after we're done with the program, we're going to go out and have a nice long walk and enjoy the day, and I hope you're doing the same. But if you do it between now and when the program ends, make sure you take your radio with you and you listen to the program, because we have a very special program and a very special guest with us today. You know, you've had problems, you know, often with your hands. You know, many of you are out in the golf course right now and you're finding that you got pain in your hands and maybe radiating up in the elbows. You know, you're out playing tennis for the first time and doing some things and you say, how come my hands hurt? Well, there's something called carpal tunnel syndrome, which kind of is a big terminology to, you know, describe pain and lack of strength and inability to feel or maybe too much sensation. And, you know, it's one that many of you go off and end up having surgery, you know, to release that nerve that goes into your hand. But we're going to try to explain that to you. And, you know, who better than discuss neurological complaints and structural complaints than the one that we happily call the professor? Dr. Harlan Browning is with me today, and we're going to be talking about that condition. Dr. Browning, welcome to the program. Kind of different in these times other than being directly in the studio.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Yeah, definitely is different not being in the studio, but nonetheless, we're going to go over a lot of good information.
It's a different world, and but people are starting now to get the reprieves. They're outside and they're riding their bikes and they're out on the golf courses and they're doing things finally manually after sitting around for a long period of time, and it increases the risk of injury. But let's talk about this enigma, if you will, this carpal tunnel pattern. And you're going to be doing a podcast this Wednesday evening. And by the way, anybody that would like to have the data and listen to this and get more intimate information, all you have to do is go to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, rozellecare.com. And scroll down. You're going to see, as always, you'll see the presentation and just say register and they'll get some data. And you will be able to watch this from the privacy of your own home. And it'll be sent to you by email. Just click on it. You can take it through. You can share it with anybody that you want to. But let's get into the meat of this, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's talk about this carpal tunnel enigma. What is it really? Why do we call it that? And how does it present itself? How does it manifest?
Well, the first thing I probably would say on that is there's a misnomer out there that says that all hand pain or numbness or tingling is carpal tunnel syndrome. So that's not really the case. And one of the reasons I'm doing this presentation is to talk about the other things that also cause numbness or pain in the hand, because I've seen over the years several people who have had a procedure called carpal tunnel release for what they thought was carpal tunnel syndrome, but it turned out not to be. So we're going to talk about hand pain in general, but certainly carpal tunnel syndrome is part of it.
So and when they do that surgery, when they do that release, and what you're talking about is there's a band, if you will, that goes around the wrist, and it's a whole lot like Saran wrap or fascia, it's like plastic wrap. And what they do is they actually go in, they make a cut in the wrist, and then they cut the band and they loosen up the bones. But that carpal tunnel allows that nerve to go through into the hands and so forth. So how does somebody, you know, let's first talk about, we'll get into, you know, what happens with all that, but what's the manifestation? You know, why are the similarities? You're saying that it's diagnosed as carpal tunnel, but really not carpal tunnel. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, the carpal tunnel is really made up of a series of 8 small bones in the wrist we call carpal bones, and this fibrous overlap that you talked about before. Going through that fibrous overlap is a median nerve, and there's another nerve that passed through there called the ulnar nerve. So when we get any type of compressive force on that band or on the nerve itself, usually because of mechanical overuse, typing, carpentry, stuff like that, then we can traumatize the nerve, and the end product is that the nerve is going to tell us there's something going on. It's usually the form of numbness and tingling, and if time goes by and it's not addressed, then the person will actually start to get weakness. Maybe they'll drop things, and in some folks, the weakness can be pronounced, and they get atrophy. One hand looks smaller than the other.
You know, when I was first in the clinic many years ago, and, you know, I was seeing patients for the first time, you know, we use our hands on a day-to-day basis because so much of our work is structurally related. And I started losing the mound, if you will, the muscle mass on my thumb. And I ended up with a carpal tunnel. And, you know, it was painful, and it was not pleasant at all. Fortunately, by the work that we do, I got full resolution, and it came back no problem, and the muscle plumped up. But what you say is critical. So you have somebody out there in today's world, they're holding onto a bike and their hand hurts. Or does the pain have to be there when somebody is doing something, or once this occurs, is the pain there all the time?
I mean, it could be either scenario. I think the important part when you're looking at the pain component is the distribution of the pain, and definitely the distribution of the numbness and tingling. The median nerve, that's the nerve that typically gets entrapped in the wrist that causes carpal tunnel, really innervates only our thumb and the next 3.5 fingers over. So it doesn't have really much anything to do with the pinky. So if a person has got hand pain that's inclusive of the pinky, they might have a carpal tunnel, but I can assure you they have other entrapments and other nerve irritation that explains the pinky component. So you need to look at the totality of the presentation, and does it involve the little finger as well as the other fingers?
My guest today, Dr. Harlan Browning, and we're talking about carpal tunnel patterns or pain in your hands that seem to be, you know, not only causing you pain, but the inability to do the things that you want to do, enjoy them. And again, you're out there for the first time in months right now and doing things that are much more active. And you're probably wondering why, you know, your hands are hurting and what's taking place and, oh my gosh. And, you know, but we want to show you that you don't have to run off to the surgeon, that this stuff can be fixed. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Welcome your questions on anything that you want to talk about. We're talking about hand pain. It doesn't have to be on topic. You're welcome to call and ask, you know, the distinguishing features of all kinds of things. Dr. Browning, let's get back into the meat of this thing. And why is it that in so many situations that somebody ends up with hand pain, that the first step is, you know, obviously anti-inflammatories and painkillers and so forth. And then the next step in the medical community is surgery, and they go in and do this. And the thing of it is that we know, and what we see is the failure of surgery. It doesn't work. It may work for a short period of time to take the compression off, but now you have an unstable wrist, and other things happen because of that. Does it fully resolve the problem, or what are the sequelae? What are the things that, you know, somebody ends up with because they've undergone the surgical procedure?
You know, the whole question about surgery, and let's just overlap that over any kind of condition, that there's certain criteria that I talk to my patients about when it relates to, do I need surgery? And probably the most important one is, have you failed conservative options or conservative treatments? In other words, have you gone through some things that are conservative first before you opt for surgery? I see a lot of people that because they have a lot of pain, they go right to that route. And at that point, if the procedure doesn't go well, there's always a guessing game. The person says to themselves, well, God, what would have happened if I did something different before this? So I always tell my patients, you need to exhaust all conservative measures first. The second thing that I tell them is this just a pain scenario, or is it an impairment scenario? In other words, pain means just exactly what I said. The person has a lot of pain, but doesn't necessarily have a loss of function. Impairment means that the function has changed. In other words, they are becoming weak, or as you described before, that prominence on your thumb called the thenar eminence, that's gotten smaller over time. It's atrophied. So there's two different scenarios there, and you want to make sure that the impairment and the pain overlap, and you've exhausted all of your conservative options before you even entertain getting surgery done.
You know, we've treated a lot of NFL players and a lot of professional athletes in our practice, and this is unfortunately a very common presentation for them. But the point is that we're all athletes in our day-to-day lives. We're lifting, we're doing, we're pushing, we're pulling, we're out mowing the lawn. We have our hands on the lawnmower and we're pushing that, and the vibrational effect of that can cause a problem. Here's the next question that I have, because I want our audience to understand that this is not necessarily a localized situation, that that nerve starts, that median nerve, that middle nerve, if you will, starts in the neck. And it comes down, you know, through the shoulder into the elbow and all the way down into the hand. And are there any other signs and symptoms that would begin a warning pattern, a loss of strength, otherwise as a painful pattern presentation that would begin to suggest, I got a problem, but it may not just be in the wrist?
Absolutely. So, you know, to get to what you're talking about as far as where the nerves start, you're right, it comes out of the neck. So some people who experience hand pain are getting compression way upstream as the nerve passes out between two vertebrae, and maybe there's a disc compression or maybe there's some degenerative change. So if the person's problem was initiated by maybe a head trauma or was preceded by neck pain, and now all of a sudden we have hand pain or maybe, you know, forearm pain, then I would start to look a little bit further up to see if we get compression as it passes out through the neck. The next step down is that nerve exit, it branches and it meets up with other nerves and it passes between muscles and underneath of our clavicle, and it goes down the whole length of the arm. So there's multiple areas where the nerve can be compressed. And the pattern that I see typically is something we refer to as double crush, where it's getting irritated or compressed or stretched or whatever you want to call it in more than one place. So you have to really assess from the beginning to the ending point if you really want to get good resolution with the problem.
So somebody could show up with, you know, their shoulder aches, or they can show up with, you know, they have a sore neck, a stiff neck. They can't turn their head from side to side as easily as they should. And then over a period of time, what they begin to see is weakness in the hands. They don't have the strength that they should have, or they get a little tingling in the fingers, particularly in the thumb and the index finger area. So it can all start further upstream, as you're saying, it can involve multiple joints. Is that what I'm understanding you to say?
Absolutely. So in your scenario, let's say the person has a little bit of arthritis in their neck that's irritating that nerve. Well, if the nerve goes to your hand and those muscles in the hand start to slightly weaken, then we're going to try to compensate by overusing those muscles or maybe recruiting other muscle groups. So that mechanism puts the wrist under a lot more strain because we're using it over and over again in an inappropriate fashion. So by default, we get a carpal tunnel, but it actually started from a cervical problem. So it becomes convenient to just try to treat the carpal tunnel, and maybe it will relieve some of the pain for a short amount of time. But if you don't address the original cause of it, then the person's not going to get the resolution they hope for.
Well, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that very specifically. We're coming up to a break, and we're here at 888-630-9625. My guest today is Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. We're talking about something that is very, very common, carpal tunnel syndrome. But as you're noting, it can start anywhere, and it's, you know, it can cause a lot of damage and a lot of irritation, a lot of dysfunction. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Indeed, we're live for you and bringing you some very interesting information. My guest today, Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. We're talking about something that many of you, unfortunately, might be experiencing right now, and it's called carpal tunnel syndrome. And what that is pain in your hands and numbness and so forth and inability to lock on to something. You know, Dr. Harlan, you know, we got into a couple pieces of it, you know, and here's the situation where, you know, you end up with pain in one hand and then suddenly it goes over to the other hand, right? So they did surgery on one hand, they did what we call a carpal tunnel release, and then it shows up on the other side. Well, it's a condition that's not contagious. It just didn't kind of go the other way. So that tells you that there's something more midline that may be causing that. You alluded to it a little bit in the first part of the program, and that these conditions can come from other areas, the neck and, you know, upper back and so forth, affecting that nerve that goes into the arms. So, you know, again, I want to ask the question, what indicators, what suggestions would a patient have that, and suggestions, I mean, warning signs and so forth, that would indicate that this is a condition that's starting to come about and they better be proactive before they get to their hands?
You know, certainly if we start to develop pain, you know, from the neck down to the arm, that should be a warning sign. If it's reproducible, in other words, if it happens after you do something in particular, then that should be the frequency. If it becomes progressively more frequent or intense, then, you know, that tells me at least that the person needs to do some sort of intervention, because it doesn't sound like what they're doing at home is going to cut it.
You know, and the thing is that we have a tendency to ignore things over a long period of time. We say, well, this is nothing, it'll go away, or it's a little stiffness, or what do you expect for your age, or things of that nature. And it really doesn't have anything to do with that. Now, you know, you would expect that somebody who is a manual worker, a carpenter, somebody that's outside doing heavy work with their hands would end up with this type of situation. But the truth of it is, it can affect anyone. And when we see this type of presentation in the office, it's critical that we begin to work it through. The old expression, athletes in industry, but we're athletes in our own homes as well. And so we see this type of pattern. There's a nutritional piece as well, that if there's a deficiency of this particular nutrient, that also carpal tunnel problems become more predisposed, if you will. Can we talk about that just for a second?
Absolutely. So, you know, classically, when we think of nerve compression or nerve irritation, B6 would be one of our go-tos, B6 phosphate, particularly. When we talk about the B vitamins, if we can get them in a phosphorylated form or as close to a phosphorylated form, then they're really metabolically active. So I certainly use B6. It's shown promise in multiple clinical studies over the years. And the other thing, you know, that I would look at is, what are some of the natural anti-inflammatories that we can use? So, carpal tunnel can arise just by chronic inflammation and swelling of soft tissue. Maybe the tunnel isn't really that small. Maybe it's just chronically inflamed and swollen. So, you know, proteolytic enzymes, bromelain, papain on an empty stomach can be very powerful as well.
Those are the things that people don't think about. You know, we have compromise, we have irritation, because we're always using our hands anyway. We're repetitively doing things. People at home, they're, you know, even seamstress and tailors and so forth, they're using their hands in very specific manners, but it's repetitive motion. And this is a situation where the term repetitive stress injury can come from as well. So we end up with these problems that build up over a period of many years, and subsequently we get to the place where we have a problem. But you mentioned the nutrients, B6 phosphate. Why is that an important situation as a consideration in this type of problem?
Well, it literally helps to regenerate the damage in the nerve. The outer part of the nerve is really pretty tough. But at a certain point, when it becomes compressed and becomes ischemic, and ischemic means that the blood flow becomes diminished, then the outer part will start to break down. So B6 is really effective at helping to regenerate damage in a nerve.
You know, I'm going to ask you the question that really needs to be asked. You know, we're talking about a condition that can be resolved from our point of view. How pervasive is it? How often, you know, does this really show up and people don't realize what they're dealing with?
You know, I think clinically I'm probably seeing less carpal tunnel as the years go by for a couple reasons. Number one, you don't have people just nonstop typing anymore. It's more or less software. It means you click on a little part of the software, you type a little bit, then you click on something else. So I see a little less carpal tunnel from the conventional way we used to see it, because using your hands all the time. But I see it more from having compensatory muscle tightness from doing other things. So, for example, when we use a mouse, our hand is, when it's flat on top of it, that position is called pronation. And pronation activates a muscle called the pronator. Well, it just so happens the median nerve passes through it or underneath of it or right next to it. So some folks just overwork the upper part of their forearm and end up compressing the nerve, as opposed to the classic way we think about it, is the nerve is pinched in the wrist itself. But same outcome, though. We get stuff going on in the hand.
Well, when we come back in the second half of the program, I want to get into a little bit of the fix. And I want to remind everybody, you can give us a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest today, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about things that make your hands hurt. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We'll be right back after some important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. And my guest today, none other than the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're live in a beautiful Washington metropolitan day, and freedom is starting to open up because everybody's outside and doing their thing. You know, we've spent multiple programs talking about lots of things, including COVID. And, there's a lot of information. I want to encourage you to go to our website, but also go to my Facebook page. Go to Dr. Tom Rozelle, not the office website, and check it out. You don't have to friend me. It's wide open. You can just go in and check out the things that I publish. And I only put in things that have to do with your health and very documented information. So take that opportunity and get yourself educated, as we always want you to do. And that's why we do this program. That's why we do Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Anyway, Dr. Harlan, let's get back into the meat of this. I want everybody to know that they can call you right now if they'd like to at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. And to register for this great online presentation on hand pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, and find out what can be done, all they need to do is go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. RozelleCare.com. Scroll down, you'll see the advertisement for the presentation. It says Carpal Tunnel with Dr. Harlan Browning. Click on it, register, and we will send this to you in the privacy of your own home. It doesn't cost you anything. It's all yours, and you can watch it. Or if you miss it, you can always go back into the website later on at RozelleCare.com, and it'll be there, and you'll watch it online. But you'll have the opportunity to take it to your house, and you can watch it anytime that you want to. It'll be available for you this Wednesday. So RozelleCare.com, and as I said, if you want to see a lot of interesting information and things that you need to have to educate yourself so you really can answer questions, in many cases, better than physicians out there. All you need to do is, click into these programs and go to the website, and it's all there. Dr. Browning, let's talk a little bit more about, this hand pain situation, this carpal tunnel phenomenon. You said in the beginning of the program that, a true carpal tunnel is a crushing of the median nerve that goes through the wrist, kind of in the middle of the wrist, and affects the thumb, it affects the forefinger, maybe a little bit of the third finger over. But anything else, the ring finger, the little finger, is not a carpal tunnel. And the whole idea is that there's so much more than just carpal tunnel that affects the hand. You could say it's an ulnar nerve. Now, when we talk about, this median nerve, we talk about the ulnar nerve. A lot of our listeners say, what's that all about? And all these are nerves that are described based on their pathways from the neck going down through the shoulder into the elbow, into the hand. And so we can distinguish them that way. But the median nerve goes through the middle of the wrist, but then it bifurcates, if you will, and it goes directly to the thumb and that index finger. But let's talk about the causative patterns a little bit more, because I don't think people really get how significant this can be. Let's talk a little bit about people who are on their cell phones all the time. They're sitting there with their thumbs. You know, they have it in front of them. They're constantly, you know, texting. They're constantly on social media. You see people, you know, unfortunately, about 2 months ago, I was at a stoplight and I got hit by a young lady who, you know, just plowed into the back end of me, and she was on her cell phone and didn't even see me and just screamed into me. But having said that, the repetitive use of thumbs, can that produce a carpal tunnel over a period of time where they're going to lose sensation, lose strength within their hands and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it can, especially when the wrist is bent as well. I think that's probably the key thing is fine motor skills or gross motor skills, like maybe turning a wrench. But if you just start to do it with the wrist bent, and that's why you would see probably starting in the 90s when people were typing a lot, they'd have that little pad that they would rest their forearms on when they type, and that was to prevent at least the bending of the wrist. So usually it's the double whammy. We use the hand over and over again, and the wrist is slightly bent. So, you know, going back to what you said about the cell phone, you certainly could do that. And then we compound it by, let's say, a young kid's lying on the couch with his head completely bent forward on the phone with his wrist bent and doing fine motor skills over and over again. So, I mean, they could develop carpal tunnel just as easy as somebody who was, you know, typing all day for work.
And based on what you said, that's a double crush area, because they're irritating the neck where the nerve comes from, and they're irritating their wrist because of the repetitive motion with on the cell phone or the iPad or something of that nature.
Absolutely. And I think one of the important components when it comes to the anatomy of lots of nerve compression type injuries is nerves have to be able to slide and glide. In other words, as you move your arm, that nerve literally has to be able to slide back and forth as we move the arm, or else it's just going to get entrapped and pinched. So most of these entrapment syndromes involve the nerve getting caught in specific areas of the body, either as it passes under a bone or as it goes through a muscle. So you look at those different relay stations, so to speak, where the nerve, you know, goes from point A to point B, and then you can almost always track to find what's causing it.
We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Talk about anything that you'd like relative to numbness in your hands and pain and discomfort and not being able to use them, how to prevent it. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit to Dr. Bonin about right now is, Dr. Harlan, how do you go about somebody, you know, we live in a modern society. People are on their devices constantly. They're you know, now we're out and we're going to be doing things actively outside. And so we have all of these irritations that are going and going to affect the body. Let's talk about prevention a little bit. You know, we'll talk about treatment as it goes on. But how does somebody really prevent? Nobody wants to lose their fingers as far as, you know, being able to use it. And but how do we go about really, truly preventing, you know, numbness in the hands, pain in the hands, double crush patterns, inability to use things? That's not okay. That takes your life away. That totally stops you from doing anything you want to do.
You know, I think probably the simplest way to look at it is just to have really good overall body flexibility and strength. And what I mean by that is a lot of people have just so much limited motion, let's say in their shoulder, which is going to cause them to use their elbow and their wrist more than they need to. So the way I would say to prevent it is just to have a good balance between strength and flexibility of your upper body, good posture when you're doing a task like typing, and then avoid like the simple things, the things that get people in trouble that they don't think about. Sleeping with more than one pillow, sleeping on their stomach, having a tendency to turn their body one way when they're working on a computer because they have two monitors. These things all add up and eventually can cause things like carpal tunnel.
You know, it's really, we're living in a very curious society, and the things that we try to force ourselves to do and the like. And, you know, you watch people do strange things. We talked a little bit about, you know, the devices that people are on and so forth. Is there a group of people that would be more susceptible to hand pain? Or is it just kind of general throughout society? You know, do women have more of a problem? Do guys have more of a problem? Is it because of the nature of their genetics? Or is it because, you know, guys, you know, in the past seem to be more active, you know, physically than women are with their hands because they're outside, they're working construction and the like?
You know, I don't know if I've ever seen any data that, that indicates it's more prevalent in women versus men because of gender. I think maybe it was more prevalent in women in 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s because there was just a lot of typing going on. So, but on the flip side, you know, men are typically more involved with, you know, carpentry and masonry and things that involve a lot of repetitive tasks, automotive repair. So, I mean, it can happen on both sides. It's, you know, the job may be different, but the outcome is the same as far as the nerve getting, you know, pinched or stretched or irritated.
We're talking about hand pain, also known as carpal tunnel syndrome. We're here at 888-630-9625. And if you'd like Dr. Browning's online presentation about this whole problem, all you need to do is go to rozellecare.com and register for it. We'll send it to you. You can be able to watch in the privacy of your own home. Before we get back in the program, we do have a couple callers. Nora, thank you for calling. You're down in Spotsylvania. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. I love your show, by the way. I listen whenever I can.
Thank you.
I am a retired massage therapist, and before I became a massage therapist, I was called for jury duty on a case up on Long Island back in New York, and the man who had been hit developed what he thought was carpal tunnel syndrome and was suing the woman who hit him. But after I went to massage school and took some anatomy and was also being adjusted by a chiropractor, I realized he had subluxations in his neck that were sitting on those nerves that supplied that hand.
That's exactly right. Dr. Brown, you want to handle that a little bit? So, you know, there was an accident, and we ended up with somebody who ended up with a carpal tunnel. But this is a particular situation where you can get into that double crush. You can have a neck and hand problem from having the hands on the steering wheel.
Absolutely. And then I would throw in there, because she was a massage therapist, when the nerves exit the neck, they meet up with other nerves and form what's something called the brachial plexus. It's a big word for meaning just a confluence of nerves coming together and then separating and going on their own way. Those nerves pass between and underneath different muscles in the neck, something called the scalenes and the levator scapula. So if we get a whiplash, and the side effect of the whiplash from the motor vehicle accident is these muscles become just chronically tight, then the person might present with hand pain. So, you know, the subluxation pattern along with, you know, working with the soft tissue often does a great job at resolving it.
It's not uncommon, if you will, to see that type of situation, particularly in a car accident. And the neck gets snapped back pretty hard, and then forward propulsion, particularly if it was hit from behind. The angle of impact will tell you often the type of symptom that you're going to have. And it can be anything from shoulder or arm pain. It could be migraine headaches. It can be a concussion that comes about from it. But the downstream effect is how the nerves are irritated. So here's a situation where somebody has their hands on the steering wheel. They get hit. And so subsequently, you know, you have, you know, this double injury. And so the nerve is irritated from its inception, from its origin, and then the hands are jammed up against the steering wheel. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that when you're taught to drive, you want to keep your hands at the lower portion of the steering wheel, not at the upper portion. When you keep it at the upper portion, not only can you increase your risk of carpal tunnel, but you also increase your risk of fractures with any kind of impact. It can break that long bone in your hand. So let's go back a little bit more and talk about what really, you know, this carpal tunnel pattern. Let's talk about rehabilitation. Let's talk about it. What's the fix? Are they fully resolvable? And ultimately, I want to ask you the question, and we just have a few minutes. Do these ultimately end up having to go to surgery at that point? What's the failure rate in both ends?
You know, I would think a very small portion of people who have carpal tunnel syndrome actually get surgery. So, I mean, that's becoming less and less. I just don't see it as much, which is good. I think the important part is to be able to assess from the neck down, meaning, like we've said several times, it's like you need to address if there's compression in multiple areas. You need to restore joint motion if it's lost. If we have tight muscle groups that maybe they have adhesions in it or trigger points, those have to be taken care of. And then you got to correct the pattern of ergonomics. There's something that drove this, and if you don't correct it, it would be silly to think that it's not going to come back.
So it's a matter of understanding the tissue that's involved, first of all, and then making sure that, you know, that you address the absolute structural patterns that are involved in it. And then going back to what you said earlier in the program, the other piece is that if there's chronic irritation, there's going to be swelling. Tissues get thickened. You're going to have some adhesion. You're going to have some scar tissue. This band that goes around the wrist has to do with fascia in the body, and fascia not only, gets all knotted up and tightened up that it has to be released properly, but it also, if somebody is deficient in things like, for example, B12 and folic acid, that fascia has a greater tendency to be injured. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, all that tissue is meant to bear a lot of load, and it's supposed to be able to handle a lot of shearing force. In other words, it should be able to be stretched. But if we don't have, the raw materials to build that tissue back or to maintain it, then it's going to fatigue prematurely, and then it's going to break down. The body does a really good job of repairing things quickly by forming scar tissue, but ideally, at a certain point, that scar tissue should remodel into healthy tissue, and some folks don't do that. And I think that is what explains a lot of people that have maybe a failed carpal tunnel procedure. Very, very infrequently is it the doctor doing something wrong on the procedure. Most of the time, it's just as that tissue reheals, it contracts more than we anticipated, or we form scar tissue. So, in other words, we just start to recompress that nerve. So, what you said about the B12 and the folic acid, you need to rehabilitate that tissue. You need to strengthen it, or you need to lengthen it. So you don't want to drop out the small pieces.
You know, it's really critical that you understand the physiology and the nutritional needs of everything that we do. We have a couple more people online. I will take them when we come back from the break. It's important that in any condition that you direct it specifically to where it's coming from, because if you don't, you never resolve the problem. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. This is a really important piece of the puzzle. We'll be right back to continue. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. My guest today, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about carpal tunnel problems. And we had a call. Mark is no longer there. He dropped off. He wanted to know what to do about his carpal tunnel problem and how to get it fixed. Well, one of the things you can do, Mark, and I'm sorry that you're not there, you can give us a call. We have a short segment. Welcome to call back, is go online to register. Go to RozelleCare.com. But we do have somebody that is also there. So let's do that one, Dr. Browning. Reese, you're calling from Fairfax. How can we help you, sir?
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend.
This is your old friend from a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
You remember at the health club.
I do remember. It all came back in 2 seconds. What's going on, man?
I did a lot of work in my house, and rather than getting a good screwdriver, automatic screwdriver, I got one, a manual one, and about a week later, I started having pain and tingling and couldn't sleep at night, and it affected both of my hands, both my thumbs, really, and two fingers. I looked around. This was probably 20 years ago, and I had it done both hands endoscopically, so they didn't have to slip me all the way up my hand, and I was rolling in a week. It was amazing. The only problem I saw, and it wasn't really a problem, I didn't hit the ball as far as I used to, but that could be age too. I didn't have quite as much flexibility in my hand, to whip a club. That was it though.
This just happened recently. You said you have this in both hands going on. Did you switch back and forth with the screwdriver, or?
Yeah, I did. Harlan. I did, but this didn't just happen. This was 20 years ago.
Okay. How would you deal with this, man?
I mean, if it happened just with one incidence of using a screwdriver, then you must have had a lot of underlying muscle weakness in that hand. So you would probably want to address that. You stabilize the wrist for a short amount of time. Make sure the carpal bones are moving properly. That's one thing we haven't talked about is those bones should be quite mobile, and sometimes they become fixated because of previous injuries. You'd be surprised how many people forget that they fell off a bike when they were 15, put their hand out to stop themselves, jammed their wrist up. It hurt for, I don't know, a couple weeks, and then the pain went away, but the range of motion never really came back. So you want to look at that as well.
Yeah, when you can go, I remember when this happened. This is truly an old friend, and I remember when he went through a lot of this. So the thing that is that any kind of intervention, even though that it may have been successful in the initial stages, if it builds up any scar tissue, it becomes inhibited. The strength isn't there the way it's supposed to be. But when it's usually both sides like that, it's generally further up. It's in the neck, it's in the shoulders, the anterior scalene muscles, the pectoralis muscles, and so forth become compromised, meaning too tight, and they compress the areas. But that's what we see all the time with these presentations, unfortunately. And it can be fixed. Obviously, it can be in today's world with the combination of, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Your presentation on. That won't be in the office, but it'll be online. And all you have to do is go to rosellcare.com and register for it. It'll be sent to you so you can watch in the privacy of your own home. Dr. Harlan, what are you going to cover? You know, what are people going to gain by watching it?
Well, we'll certainly go through all the anatomy that's involved from head to finger. We'll look at the primary causes of carpal tunnel. We'll look at things that mimic carpal tunnel, these other entrapment syndromes. One thing we didn't touch on yet was we'll talk about some metabolic causes, autoimmune causes. You know, there's always some outliers that mimic a compression when it's actually something metabolic or something that's inflammatory in nature. And then, the important part is we'll talk about how you resolve this conservatively and how you prevent it from coming back. It's always about how you prevent it from returning. And human nature says that when the pain goes away, the problem is gone. And for most people who have musculoskeletal issues, especially kind of again, on again, off again stuff, you have to put into place some things that you're going to do ongoingly to really keep it quiet.
So prevention is the keynote, and then making sure that you rehab, but rehabilitation in many situations is ongoing. It's not something. And then if you have people who have a tendency towards degenerative conditions, any joint space can be subjective to an ongoing progression of degeneration, correct?
That is absolutely correct. I mean, there's a lot of people develop arthritis because of overuse, and some people develop just because their posture is poor and they've lost the normal curvature in their spine or things like that.
Yeah, we're coming up to that part of the program where we're going to have to say see you next week. But those of you who've heard the professor, Dr. Howard Browning, know that this presentation, like all of them, will be amazing. So go to rosellcare.com, register. And just know that we continue to do this for you so you have the tools to treat yourself and your family. We'll see you next week. I love you all. Bye.